chapter 14. We are still in the series of walking with God. And I know that most of us have heard all these fancy names from the Old Testament. You know, people like Abraham, people like Moses, you know, people who had something going for them. People like Joshua, who was able to bring the Hebrew children into the promised land. But this morning we're going to look at a person which we normally overlook easily, but who is going to teach us a lot of lessons, life lessons. And I think if that name, which we all know, Caleb, is going to speak to us this morning and this life, we could summarize it in one simple sentence. Caleb was a man who understood that even as God's chosen people, we can fall and fail. But if you get up and you keep your eyes on the Lord and you promise, and the promises God has given you are still on fire in you, you will finish victorious. And I think this is a lesson most of us need to hear over and over again. I have seen in the ministerial work I have done for all these years, both. I have seen people getting older and failing miserably in their faith with God. And I have seen, praise God, people who got stronger and stronger and stronger the older they got and finished stronger than ever. Caleb was one of those men. And we're going to read in chapter 14. We read the entire chapter because it is so amazing. Beginning in verse 1. These are the areas which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed as an inheritance to them. Their inheritance was by lot, as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses, for the 9 tribes and the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of the 2 tribes and the half tribe on the other side of the Jordan, but to the Levites he had given no inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. And they gave no part to the Levites in the land except cities to dwell in, which the common lands for the livestock and their property. As the Lord had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was on the day that Moses sent me." How many of you would like to say, "I would love to be that strong"? "Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba, for Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest for more. There's a recording here of a discussion that happened between Joshua and Caleb. These are the same two people who were two of the 12 who 45 years earlier were assigned by God through Moses to go and see in the land which God promised them if it truly matches with the promises God gave them. And they came back and recognized that what God said was all true. We're going to look later on a little bit what made that Caleb what he is 45 years later. But until we get there, let me quickly give you a little introduction on the subject itself. And we're going to focus on what do you and I long for? What's our heart's desire? What are we longing for? Oh, I want to live down here a good old age. I want to do this and that, and then I go to be with the Lord. Is that what you're longing for? Or are you longing for, I like to have my family saved. And when that happens, I'm going to close my eyes and I'm out of here. This morning, I want you to ask yourself that question. Have I ever thought about it? What am I longing for? And then we're going to see if your longing maybe has in any way anything to do with Caleb's longing. Twice we just read that Caleb was known as a man who wholly followed the Lord. In other words, this man knew how to walk with God, didn't he? Some people I meet during the week, they long for an easy life. Money is plentiful and trouble are few. How many of you would like to say, man, that's a good life to live? Others long for a family life that is not consistently under siege and there's a little bit more peace and safety. We're heading towards the holiday season, one of the most tumultuous seasons of the entire year. Do you know that more family fights are happening during the Christmas season than at any other time during the year? It should not be so, should it? There are probably as many longings as there are people living on this earth. But let's focus on those who call themselves followers of Jesus. People who have been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit and who want to follow the Lord wherever he goes. And these are the people who have longings. And I hope you cannot probably somehow associate with me on this one. How many of you would have a longing to please him at any time in your life? That's a great longing. Pleasing him. What about glorifying him? Isn't that the most foremost goal of man, to glorify God? By the way, there's no glory left for you or me after that. What about worshiping him? I have a desire to worship him. Or what about I have a longing to serve him? I want to serve him. And then obviously that deep longing, I want to fellowship with him. I want to be in fellowship with the Lord. All great, honorable things. But let's look at Caleb. Go with me to verses 6 through 9 where we're focusing first on. And let's look at Caleb. What made this Caleb wanting to do what he told Joshua he wants to do. I can tell you the first thing, Caleb was motivated by what God promised him. Don't misunderstand me. Caleb did not, by positive confessing some things, trying to manipulate God. He simply listened to what God said, believed what God said, and recognized when he was 85 years old that the promise which God made him has not yet come to pass. And that was a great motivational factor. Look at verse 6. The children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. Caleb was from the tribe of Judah. Where did Jesus come from? Tribe of Judah. Stop there for a second. Which was the first city in the 20th century that was given away, taken from the Jewish people and given away to the Palestinians? Which city was the first city that transferred? Hebron. And I can tell you from a prophetic standpoint, whoever decided, it was one of our presidents, by the way, who gave that city away, that moment, the United States of America lost all the favors with God. You have no business to divide God's land. That Hebron was promised by God to Caleb and the tribe of Judah. Forever. There's no mention in the Bible that everything will change in the 20th century. For those of you who are still trying to figure out who was it was President Clinton. I can see it on your eyes. You're still trying to figure out. You need to learn history a little bit. Caleb understood this was something God gave him and him alone and the tribe he was at that time a leader of. Go with me to Numbers chapter 13. If you are in Joshua, just make a left turn. You eventually will hit Numbers if you go far enough. Numbers 13. First three verses will give us plenty of insight. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to whom? Who gives what? God gives that land to the children of Israel. From each tribe of the fathers you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. What was Caleb? A leader, a head of the children of Judah. And the Bible tells us that he was going in with the other 11. We all know the story. If you drop down to verses 21 and following. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Sin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to where? Oh, there's a Hebron again. Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak. The descendants of Anak, if you look it up, Anak and the Anakim and the Amalekites, these are all from the same lineage. These were the giants in the land. These were the people eventually David had to take care of it still. One out of five. Always wondered why David had five smooth stones in his pocket, not just one. He thought if the other ones show and I take care of them too. Now that's a motivated warrior right there. I'm going to finish that job. The Bible says, now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with a cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. How many of you have ever seen grapes so big that it takes two leaders, full-grown warrior men, to carry it? We're lucky. We get them about 6 inches tall. And that's in the best time of the season. That was a land truly flowing with milk and honey. And God said, I want to get you in there, and then I'm going to give it to you. What a promise. For 45 years, my friends, 45 years, Caleb could not see that come to pass. So when he went in, he was 40. So if you're 40 years old right now, you're only a spy. When you're 85 years old. And what expired over those 45 years? I can tell you what. Everything that would totally demoralize you and me. What Caleb had to encounter and endure, you and I would have given up a long time ago. He knew what God said because he says so. He knew it was his land promised to him, and he couldn't get his hands on it because of some rebellious people he had to lead. How many of you would have said, that's frustrating? It's not even your fault. It's somebody else's fault, so to speak. He was there when they were griping. He was there when they were whining. He was there when they were complaining. He was there when they said, I want to go back to Egypt. I want leek and onions and garlic. He was there. His eyes always looking towards Hebron, and the people he was leading always looking towards Egypt. How many of you would like to sign up for leadership like that? And yet there is not an ounce, not a word in the Bible that Caleb ever complained to God. There's not a single word you and I can find in the entire Bible where it says that Caleb was so frustrated that he gave up. You also can't find a single word mentioned in the Bible that Joseph ever, or Caleb ever, attacked a leader because he didn't get what he wanted. He just goes and hangs on for dear life to the promises of God. That's all he does. How many of you have to say, the guy must have had a deep longing in his heart. A longing the circumstances could not kill. Now listen carefully to me. There are longings in you, my heart, which we may not have seen yet come to pass. That's why it's still there. And circumstances in our life has made a twist or a turn in our journey, and it killed our longing. We lost it. There are over 400 pastors a month in the United States of America who are quitting their job. I wonder what the longing was. There are over 85% of the entire European population who is not setting foot in a church again. And Europe has the biggest cathedrals and churches ever built by human beings. Turned into museums. If you go to Italy, you will find some of the multi-million dollar cathedrals turned into automotive shops. One of the most famous cathedrals in northern Italy today is a bar. You can look it up on the internet. I'm not telling you stories. It's true. Why? Because people who once grew up in church, who knew better, something happened and it killed their longings. It changed from a spiritual journey into a world. Thank you. Took that long? Thank you. You're really old. Would you take another sip of your coffee so your brain starts working? He takes my word seriously. What you are seeing, my friend, is people switching their longings. And what was once important is not important anymore. I believe probably one of the greatest devastating impacts America has ever seen in the churches is the longing of leadership and pastors and administrative leaders in churches who want to have big churches. That's a wrong longing. Had a discussion this week with somebody who told me that we're going to be so big and we have to get all these things going. And I said, let me tell you something. Jesus is a shepherd, not a banker. He is interested in sheep and not big buildings. If we need to build so we can fill it, praise God for that. But if it cannot be filled, then the building will be worthless. We have a longing. I have a longing. Hopefully my leadership in this church has a longing to see this community transformed by the power of God and to kill religion. We don't need any more religion. We need a fellowship with Jesus that has a desire and a longing to walk with him every day. Everything else is worthless. Amen. Caleb saw it. He saw it all. And the guy said, I have a promise given by God, and I am not leaving until I got it. You could have said the guy was suicidal. Because the Anakims were still living. Hebron was still fortified. In the world viewpoint, impossible to conquer. Remember 45 years ago? They were scared to death just looking at it. Caleb is now 45 years older and said, oh, I still see it there. This is an abomination in God's eyes. That needs to crumble. That needs to come down. That belongs to me. That belongs to God. He was motivated by what he heard God say. How many of you are way too easy forgetting the promises of God? We forget them so quickly. Not Caleb. Look at verse 9. Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever. When did Caleb walk on that land? When did he do it? 45 years earlier, didn't he? 45 years earlier. It's promised and he doesn't get it. Let me share something with you. Make no mistakes, what God promises, he fulfills. However, you can see it or not see it. Just because God promised it doesn't mean that you are going to participate in it unless you are willing to do what God told you to do to get that promise. There are way too many people sitting on the laurels thinking God just drops things from heaven. How many of you know there's no such thing? Caleb understood that. And I hope you and I can understand that too. Whatever the promises are which God has given you, doesn't matter how many years have passed, you need to understand that God meant every word he said. Every one of them. And if you walk with God, and you're not interested what man says, but what God says, then you have to do what God told you to do in order to get those promises. And let me tell you this. Based upon what I read in Caleb's life, the maturity is never right. The vote was 10 to 2. How many of you have to say that's lopsided? With whom do you think God sided? With the 10 or with the 2? That's all we say in the church. I don't know how we ever come up with this idea that we vote. Somebody asked me yesterday. No, that was not true. Not yesterday. The day before. They had to put my name in the bulletin for the funeral. And they said, what kind of denomination are you? And I said, since when are you a banker? And he looked at me funny and said, what did you say? I said, denomination is a financial term. No, that's religion. I said, no. I said, a $1 bill is one denomination. A $5 bill is another denomination. A $10 bill is another denomination. That's where the original word comes from. dividing the value of your currency. That's a denomination. How in the world did we ever end up in the United States of America calling different churches denominations? I don't get it. Except, how many of you know God has a lot of humor? He probably said, you guys want to divide it like this, like money? I tell you, I let you have it because most of your business is about money. Did Caleb buy that land? Or did he get it? Oh, okay. You got it. There is so much in there, my friend. We are motivated, like Caleb is motivated, by what God says, not by what we see and hear. If it doesn't match with the word of God, my friend, toss it. It's a promise which you can work for it and probably never get unless it's from God. And by the way, if you're motivated by what people say or think, I have another negative for you. They change their thinking like you change your underwear. Some of you are very seldom, but others are on a regular basis. You cannot be motivated by past experiences, my friend. How many of you know they change rapidly too? That's not a motivation. And you should not be motivated by what you hear in this world. How many of you know it's all manipulated, what they say? There's one thing that is not manipulated, and that is what God promises us in his book. You know, sometimes I'm a little crazy, I know, and you probably would agree with that. But sometimes I think that, what do you think if God would show all the world leaders in a split minute what he is really going to do? What he is really going to do. You think their ideas on their laws and their governorship or rulership would change a little bit? Think twice. I don't think so. Because most rulers today believe that they don't need a God. They rule. So did the Israelites. You say, no, 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 no. They believed in God. No, they believed in a golden calf. What does America believe in? The golden calf. It's called the stock market. There's a golden calf outside the stock market. What if that calf dies? I wish Moses would come back. He'll take care of that in a hurry, wouldn't he? My friend, you have to really check what motivates you. You really have to check it. And you have to really check, what are you longing for? Are you doing it like Caleb, or are you going to do it like the world likes to do it? Do you know what Caleb really longed for? Hebron. Hebron. Do you know by any chance what the word Hebron means? You don't? Let's see if we can put it up there. Look at that. The Hebrew word Hebron means fellowship and communion. What was Caleb after? What does the Bible tell us? He was after fellowship and communion. He said, this is what God promised me, fellowship and communion. What did God promise you and me, by the way? I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you to the end of this earth. Really? Fellowship. Communion means getting together and having a feast. How many of you have ever had a feast with the Lord? That's when you feast. Right there. Take that word of God. Digest it. Fellowship. When you and I come on Sunday morning, what are you after? What is your longing? To find a word I use, you don't know what it is and think it's Swiss? Is that your longing? Fellowship and communion. That's what Caleb longed for. He said, I want to go to Hebron. That is my goal. Fellowship and communion. And he said, I know somebody else is there hindering me to get there. But with God, 85 years of age, who cares? Wow. Caleb waited for that moment 45 years. I don't know if you really get it how long that is. I'm pastoring for 15 years and I think it's eternity. I do. Caleb waited 45 years. I wonder if Caleb should have had some psychological counseling. The guy should have been totally messed up after living among millions of people who are dysfunctional. They couldn't get a story straight. They couldn't trust God. How many of you would have to say you're a lunatic if you go in circles for 40 years? You've got to be crazy. So what do most Christians do? You said it, not me. We need to move forward. We need to go. We need to go and look for that Hebron place for you and me. Fellowship and communion. Of all the people, only Caleb made it. You say, hold on a second. Everybody made it into the promised land. Absolutely. Joshua let them all in there. The new generation. Do you know, you can't go and check me up, do you know that Caleb is the only one mentioned in the entire Bible who drew out all the enemies? Everybody else, every other tribe, had enemies living within them. Caleb is the only one. And he had the most fortified cities to take down, and he had the giants in his land. Do you think they were there by accident? God put them there. Caleb is the only one who cleaned it all out. And he happened to be a leader of the tribe of Judah. Who do you think is the only one who can clean out every enemy from your life? The lion of the tribe of Judah happened to be the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one. Every other tribe, no matter how religious they were, they could not get all the enemies out. Only Caleb. He had a longing to clean that place and to go in there and enjoy fellowship with God. What made Caleb such a strong leader and such a strong longing for Hebron? What did that? I give you quickly two little points that helps you to understand. Number one is it was God's promise to Caleb. That's the first thing. That's what made him such an incredible, longing man for Hebron. Go with me to the book of Hebrews, way back in the Bible, chapter 6. Listen to this, verses 10 to 12. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. What did Caleb do these 40 years in the wilderness? Did he join there in the murmuring, complaining, or did he minister to the people? And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Why? That you do not become sluggish or lazy, that's what the Bible means, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. These are two things which Caleb had. He had faith in the promises of God, and he was patiently waiting until the moment came where he could move in or make it happen. And he inherited the promise. This is one of the things Caleb had. What if Caleb would have become lazy? Paul said to the Corinthians later on, for all the promises of God in him are yes and amen to the glory of God through us. Do you know that 45 years not losing faith in the promises of God is quite an accomplishment. That's unbelievable. This is why the Hebrew writer is telling us that we should not lose hope, but we should learn to imitate those who through faith and patience did get what God promised them. There are plenty of stories in the Bible that tells us that through faith and patience they got what God promised them. And you know what? I would like you and my name written there too. Through faith and patience, we got it. A second thing we can learn is that Caleb wanted to please the Lord. And I wrote down, not the people. That's a big one. This man, he was more concerned with God's approval than man's approval. Caleb stood his ground, listen, at the risk of being personally ostracized and even losing his friends, and in this particular last charge, maybe even his life. He was not concerned about that. He was not willing to cave in to anything that would not please the Lord. How many times have I told you, my friends, it sounds like harsh and it sounds like prideful, but it is not. I really don't care what people think. I care what God thinks. And you will never hear me a sermon preach to make you feel good. Sorry, guys. I will preach a sermon that is accepted by God. On him alone. People come and people go. Some will like you, some will hate you. Some will accept you, some will reject you. Some will agree with you and some of them will disagree with you. I really don't care. Because Caleb is such an incredible example. And if you want to find in the New Testament an example, I give you another one. What about the Apostle Paul? What did he say to the Galatians before he told them that somehow somebody crept into the church preaching a false gospel? Something that makes them feel good. This is what he said in the 10th verse of the first chapter. For do I now persuade man or God, or do I seek to please man? What would be the answer? No, for if I still please man, listen, deadly serious stuff. If you and I want to please man, what is the answer? We would not be the servant of Christ. You can't have it both ways. Because now you become a slave to the people, not to God. Wow. And you could never get the inheritance or the promises of God, no matter how long you cry and pray, you wouldn't get it. There's certain principles. My prayer for you is that you will get a longing like Caleb had. A longing for your person, Hebron. A longing that is superseding your own desires. A longing that supersedes your worldly dreams. Listen, when we leave this earth, God will never, I never heard him ask. He will never ask how much money you accumulated. He will never ask how many people you brought to the Lord. He will never ask how many years you served in church. He will never ask how much you've done for the church. He will only ask you, have you been faithful what I have asked of you? Have you been faithful? On that you only will know if you have been, if you constantly fellowship and commune with him. This is why Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes back to this earth, will he find faith on earth? The answer is very little. Very little. But for you and me, as the children of the living God, the right desire, my friend, a desire and a longing that cannot be quenched by whatever happens in the world, is what God wants us to have. Because that's the way we're going to get his promises into our lives. And if you want to know what the promises are to you, ask him. Ask him. He'll give it to you. He even says that he will give us the desire of our hearts. Caleb was not a person which was a superhuman being. Caleb was a person who had the right longing, and he walked with God. You and I can do exactly the same. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Thank you for such a man as Caleb. Thank you, Lord, for backing him up and fulfilling your promises to him just as you always did. So you do today in our own lives. Lord, may you grant us a longing that is outside of this world, a longing that comes straight from you and is connected with the promises you made to us. May they become stronger each day, or may our longing to see those promises come through become stronger and stronger as well. Lord, as we have a longing to fellowship and commune with you, may all the other things fade away and you become the most important thing, our Lord and Savior. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you for the word you've spoken, and we thank you for the things you will do. Your future promises are as sweet as the past promises. Thank you, Lord, for that. In your precious name we pray. And all God's people can say,